he looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. He goes, so that, what do I do? They go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Well, hello, everyone. Hello. Welcome. Welcome, one and all, to the Sports Opinion Show. Oh, man, I cannot believe the things that are happening right now in the world of sports. And, you know, I can't begin to tell you what today holds. What, more importantly, the future, the imminent future of the world, that the world turns, I mean, it's so crazy, it's out of control. Everything is out of control. I mean, honestly, as I, you know, attempt to see some of you in the chat room, I don't see anyone in the chat room. I mean, it's never been, you know, this crazy before. It really hasn't. The world is drastically, drastically changing. There's so much that has never, ever been to joining the things that we like to join, like to seek out. It's out there. It really is. And ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank you if you are listening. I mean, it's just me. I just, you know, I get nervous. Oh, there we go. I'm not nervous anymore. DDP had just jumped into the chat room. I'd like to welcome DDP and all of you listening wherever you may be. Maybe you're at home listening. Maybe you're at work. If you're at work, be prepared. Be very prepared. People in the next desk over might be like, the hell are you listening to over there? I better turn that off before I tell the boss. And if you are, you know, in some kind of office environment, and you're hearing this from somebody else's computer that's a sports or wrestling fan, and you don't know anything about wrestling, well then, so that person can actually do a wrestling promo on you. Might even put you in a few wrestling holds. Choke him out! Choke him out! But yeah, you guys are in for a real treat. I just, you know, all this week I was doing it all together. Trying to, you know, count the years off. So, I mean, it's crazy. It was back on this date this very date, in 1997, that we lost Brian Pillman. Brian Pillman was an American football player, a professional wrestler. I mean, he went everywhere. Of course, in the late 90s, he came to known as the Loose Cannon. It's a wrestling gimmick that would see him do a series of work shoots that actually would gain him a degree of infamality for his unpredictable character. He was also known for being extremely agile in the ring. But although a terrible car accident in April of 1996, from which he received extensive ankle injuries, limited his active in-ring ability. And this is, you know, we may jump into, you know, depending on how much time we have left in the show later. But we may just, you know, jump into regular sports, although I'm not planning to. But we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, if you are able to, but before we start this off, I would like to ask you all to respectfully please stand up if you can out of your deck chairs, out of your home, if you were there at home. I'm going to do it along with you. You're probably going, you don't have a webcam like all the other Blog Talk Radio hosts do. How do we know if you're really standing with us? I assure you, ladies and gentlemen, I will be standing with you in respect as we give a 10-bell salute to the late Brian Pillman. Please stand. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for that. You know, it's really a sentiment of the way things go, and you just wonder, how do things like this happen? It's not a matter of how it happens, but why it happens. But then again, you can't do that either. You can't even ask why, because we will never understand why.
I loved the Bret Hart Shawn Michaels match. To me, that's pro wrestling.
Very nice guy. Thank you.
It's all working.
Thank you. I'm really the loose cannon.
People say, and I don't know how valid this is, but when you went to the Stu Hart tribute show, you had a meeting, or, you know, you were at dinner with Terry Funk and a few legends out there, and you had to come up with an idea to get your contract renewed with WCW. And they said, well, listen, Terry Funk was successful for being this wild man, and he got over and so forth, and you were a good wrestler and you had a presence, but you were perceived as a middle card guy, not a main eventer.
Why is that?
Oh, politics.
Were the Hollywood Blondes a mid card team?
Work-wise, no, but you really weren't pushed.
Wise.
You
got interview-wise.
Right. And
interview-wise, on top with Flair and Arn, sold out the Norfolk Coliseum, did a big number
right.
on TBS. Is that a mid-card wrestler?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't push people.
Is Brian Pillman a mid-card guy who to this day has the record?
What record?
The highest-rated Saturday night show ever in the history of TBS versus Nature Boy Ric Flair, managed by a woman.
Right.
4.5.
Rating.
Very
is
good.
Is that a mid-card guy?
No. I don't
okay,
think...
Okay, well, whose fault is it? Is it my fault? I don't think so. It's those idiots running the show. All the garbage and nepotism and shackles of restraint they put on me. Well, that's over with.
Okay.
They've been severed.
In 1994, when Hulk Hogan and his pals claimed WCW their own little playground, Pillman, his wife, and a couple friends sat down and created the Loose Cannon character just to keep his face on TV. And Bischoff loved it because of the controversial character traits and mostly because he liked to stick it to the smart mark on the web. The character worked so well that even Vince McMahon had reservations about hiring Pillman. And little did anyone know, the business was moving towards characters pioneered by Brian Pillman.
Yeah, you're right, Eric. I'm not Hogan. I'm not Savage. I'm not Sting. I'm Brian Pillman. And don't you ever forget it.
Brian came to me and we talked about the evolution of his character and turning into somewhat of an unpredictable loose cannon as we came to know. That was on Brian. And it was something that I liked because it was different. Oftentimes when you try to be better than somebody else, you copy them. The magic of Brian is that he found a character that was so different than everybody else. It was easy for that character to stand out.
Brian put the word out that his contract was coming up. He didn't know what he was going to do. And there was tension between him and Kevin Sullivan. Kevin Sullivan was the booker to describe someone who wrote the storylines and who did all that. So they had this match, and here Pillman is wrestling Kevin Sullivan. And they told everyone they were going to do one thing, and then Brian went out and did something completely different.
They are not waiting to get hooked up by a leather strap. Goodness, they got a fight going on here.
One, two, I told you, it's just going to be cheating on the door right here. I don't know how they're going to get them strapped up, but they are really going at it.
Jimmy Jett has a wireless microphone.
Yeah, I don't think this is what a recent break would be.
I'm thinking, you know, I need to call Brian and find out what the hell's going on, because he's taking this thing too far. Then he starts laughing and says it's all... just me being a new character. He says, pretty good, isn't it? I says, really good. You scared me.
For a brief moment, that audience was watching Brian Pillman and said to themselves, oh, man, I know all the rest of that stuff is just all make-believe.
Brian really hates Kevin Sullivan. One of the things that made the loose cannon character work was that Brian was able to keep what he was doing to himself. He lived the character. And he lived it in the ring, and he lived it outside of the ring. So no one was sure, even the people that he worked with, just how far Brian was going with this character.
To do what he did was so classic and so well pulled off. I don't think you can fake that. I think a lot of that was in his heart and in his brain and his hunger for the spotlight.
Obviously, money is a bottom line thing there for you as the performer, as the person who's got to pay the rent. Which of those two organizations, though, do you think would be more worthwhile for you to build up your character, would let you do what you can do?
Definitely WWF.
Okay.
And here's the barometer there. How many stars, quote-unquote, name value guys that you can see up on the billboard in the last 7 years has WCW created? Zero. Now, how many stars has Mr. McMahon created?
Well, I mean, WCW did create Johnny B. Badd. Let's not forget that.
Johnny B. Badd?
Yeah.
He's a mid-card wannabe. I carried him to a match at Fall Brawl.
The character was so on edge, and the stuff he said was so cutting edge that it made, like everyone else's characters, seem almost second rate. Everything that Brian did was designed to make you guess where's reality, where's the embellishment. And Brian Pillman, because he protected his business, had everybody talking about him.
That's right, it's me, Brian Pillman. They don't want you to know the truth, but I will give you the truth. How do you feel being one of the members of the Wretched Refuse? Sitting paralyzed with fear of Brian Elvis Pillman.
Superstar is brought to you this morning by Winter Fresh Gum from Wrigley, for Isaac Fuel Breath at last, and by Lego. Lego Mania, it's building like crazy. Take it away, Mr. Pillman.
I'd like to bring out a very special guest right now, a close friend, and the 1996 King of the Ring winner, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Well, this should be a most interesting interview. I know that Austin's got a lot to say about the return of Bret the Hitman Hart, the man that Austin will meet November the 17th in Madison Square Garden at the Survivor Series. With Austin and Pillman, early in their career, former tag team partners. These two men know each other very, very well. And we're starting looking forward to Brian Pillman's in-ring debut, which is still, I understand, a few months away, as his ankle is still healing from that severe car injury. Accident he was in where he sustained all the serious injuries a few months ago that literally crushed the ankle of Brian Pillman.
Steve, it's great to see you. We've been friends a long time. I probably know you better than anybody else. That's why I know how excited you must be with the announcement live on Raw that Bret Hart is going to come out of this semi-retirement and answer your challenge at Survivor Series. It's finally going to be your chance to prove yourself.
I sure as hell saw how excited you were when you jumped out of your chair like some kind of cheerleader. Now don't even start talking yet because I ain't through, son. Then you went out there and you shook his hand. It ain't time to start kissing up to Bret Hart yet because he ain't yet lived up to the biggest challenge of his life. And shut up. I ain't never had to prove myself to nobody.
Now, Steve, I know how frustrated you are. I know the disappointment you've had throughout your career. It's understandable. A little bit hot on you. I got caught up in the moment. I'm very emotional. I was excited that I was going to finally get to see you answer a lifelong dream at Survivor Series in the city that never sleeps, the most famous arena in the world, Madison Square Garden.
And you can listen to me, you little crippled freak.
Hey, come on.
Everybody knows that at one time I carried you to a world championship. Everybody knows at one time you rode in my back pocket.
Wow.
Madison Square Garden, Bret Hart, you're going to find out. Bret Hart's going to find out. The whole damn world's going to find out. I will do exactly what I say. I am going to whip his ass. Well, there you have it. Austin versus the best there was, the best there is, and the best there was.
Hey, wait a minute.
Wow.
What a cheap shot by
Austin. Didn't want to hear that.
Austin with a cheap shot on Brian Pillman. Pillman is just getting assaulted here by Austin. Austin stomping away at the crippled Brian Pillman.
Oh, no.
Oh, oh my God. Austin just broke that cane right across Pillman's ankle. And now he's Austin stomping away. Austin may have re-broken Pillman's ankle here.
Well, you got to respect Stone Cold Steve Austin. Look at this guy. You know, I love this style. JR, I love this style. I love exactly what he's doing. Take it to him.
The perfect Pillman's a crippled man.
I don't care who he is.
He can't defend himself.
I don't care. Get out of wrestling if you can't defend yourself. It's the World Wrestling Federation. Either shut up or put up or do something.
Austin's like an animal here.
Oh, wait a minute.
Pillman's ankle. Oh, my God.
Aggressive. You talk about a matchup. He's so intense with Bret Hart, even mentioned his name, he goes off.
And Pillman, I thought Pillman and Austin were friends. If Austin will do this to a friend, my God, think what he'll do to Bret Hart at the Survivor Series. Oh, this is... Is this whole thing Bret Hart's fault? Brian Pillman is screaming. We need an ambulance.
Stay still.
I think he's in convulsions.
Right. Don't move
it.
Stay still, Brian.
We really need to take a break here.
Don't move it.
As soon as we can, let's take a commercial break. This is won't surprise me if Monsoon now suspends Stone Cold.
We get some medics out here.
Well, I'm no doctor. And I'd hate to speculate, but I bet money that Pillman's ankle has been rebroken. Thanks to Stone Cold Steve Austin. Look at Pillman. We really need to take a break. Well, we got to get an ambulance here. And here are the EMTs are in the ring. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. Back in the ring. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're trying to get Brian Pillman out of here. Get him into an ambulance. And we cannot get Stone Cold Steve Austin under control here. Pillman's neck has been put in that brace as a precautionary measure, but the damage has been done to that severely injured ankle. We alluded to the fact that Pillman's ankle was injured in a car accident several months ago. It has not healed. It may have been re-broken here. I don't think Austin cares.
Well, he's certainly making a name for himself. Stone Cold Steve Austin. Man.
I'd love to know Bret Hart's reaction to this situation. We'll try to contact Bret Hart before we go off the air. I feel so badly for Brian Pillman. Whether you like the man or not, you hate to see any human being in this kind of pain.
Certainly that a volatile situation as we have witnessed here already this morning. And Brian Pillman, no doubt, is hospital bound after the heinous attack at the hands of Stone Cold Steve Austin. Pillman severely injured here. Farouk injured also, as we mentioned, at the hands of Ahmed Johnson. Farouk will be on live wire this Saturday morning to talk about his injuries and Ahmed's suspension.
Yeah, talk about suspensions. Don't you think Monsoon went a little suspension happy? Suspended me from the wrestling ring as a wrestler?
Brian Pillman being loaded into the ambulance, obviously en route to the nearest hospital here.
I mean, you're talking about intense pain. Brian Pillman is almost in convulsions. They need to treat him right away.
Well, Pillman's ankle was literally destroyed in a car accident several months ago. He was walking, as you saw, into the ring with the aid of a cane. And whether you like the man or not, you hate to see a career end this way. And let's go to break. As a matter of fact, let's take a break right now, ladies and gentlemen. The ambulance is leaving on its way out the exit. And wait a minute. Wait. Keep it here. Keep it here. Somebody's blocking the exit.
It's Stone Cold.
Stone Cold Steve Austin's blocked the exit in that car.
Oh, he's not done yet. Come on.
Austin. What is he? Austin is blocking the exit way. Well, the EMT wants Austin's car keys to move that car. Austin threw his car keys. He threw his car keys. We need to. Somebody get those keys and move that car. I mean, the damage has been done. Bret Hart's return has driven Stone Cold Steve Austin absolutely insane here. Come on, that's enough. I mean, boy, Austin, there should be some repercussions for this.
I don't think anybody wants a part of Stone Cold.
I'm a Stone Cold Steve Austin fan, but I don't agree with this action right here at all.
I agree with you, JR. I'm a Stone Cold fan myself, and being aggressive and everything else, but Pillman is hurt.
They've got the keys, and Austin's car is being moved. Brian Pillman being transported to the hospital. Listen, folks, we'll be.
Wow, can you believe that? It was just like yesterday when I had decided, you know, to watch Raw that night, and it's a good thing I did. Who knew that Steve Austin would attack Brian Pillman the way that he did? We're gonna pause here for a second, ladies and gentlemen, and just enjoy the moments. There are more moments to come, more history and more backstory, and including a very, you know, funny, or you might view it as a disgusting story that Jim Ross has for us.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hey sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. On behalf of the Big Dog, we want to remind you that every Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, we have our 2-hour extravaganza, and then every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time, we have our weekend review and our weekend preview. Don't forget to catch us over at blogtalkradio.com/sportstalkwiththeguys, and head on over to www.sportstalkwiththeguys.com.
your host, Matt Alvarez.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Coming to, you know, many years, it was on this day back in 1997 that we found out that Brian Pillman had passed away. We are doing a very late, many years later, tribute show. Once again, got to welcome DDP into the chat room and guest 2828. Welcome. Thank you for being here. So much history and controversy had surrounded Brian Pillman even before he started officially wrestling. As we all know, that he graduated from Norwood High School in Ohio, part of Cincinnati, and, you know, he played football for the then Redskins, now the Redhawks, as a defensive tackle. He set, you know, a two-time team All-American record, but he went undrafted by the NFL League because they thought, well, look how small he is, look how short he is, look how damn skinny he is. He cannot do this NFL stuff. There's no way. And, you know, nowadays they can't ignore anybody, no matter how short you are. The NFL, they post everybody's name on the NFL draft. I mean, look at Michael Thomas. How small he was, but he was on the draft list this year. See what I mean? They can't pass anybody up anymore. So, because they didn't want him, he was about 22, 23 years old. He decides he's going to walk on to the Cincinnati Bengals as a free agent, and he did this in 1984. And, you know, when he walked on, it's like, I mean, could you imagine being one of the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, team officials or one of the coaches, and this guy comes walking into your arena, into your park, and goes, "Oh, I'm Brian Pillman. I'm a two-time All-American from Norwood High School, and I was supposed to be in the NFL draft, and I got underdrafted, but I'm here now." And it was like they had no choice. They were like, "Well, since you're here, put on a uniform, and we'll try you out." Because they knew they couldn't push him away. They couldn't just ask him to leave with all the teammates and everybody surrounding, you know, looking at this, watching this whole thing going on. This is the same place where he also won the Ed Block Courage Award. And later the Canadian Football League. He went back to Canada. You know, he ended up going to the Calgary Stampeders in 1986. He even played for the Buffalo Bills and won preseason action in 1985. But he was also the last player cut start of that last season. His attempts to make the roster of the Bengals were covered in a series of articles in the Cincinnati Inquirer. Pillman and longtime friend John Harbaugh, current head coach of the Baltimore Ravens, were roommates at Miami. That's how he got onto the Bengals, and then later on would join the Baltimore Ravens because him and John Harbaugh were roommates and good buddies. But if you think that story was really crazy and out of the woods, check out what Jim Ross says. On a side note, if you don't want to eat during this story, I advise you not to. I can still eat and it's not disgusting to me, but check out what Jim Ross had to say one time about his encounter with Brian Pillman.
We're doing a Clash of the Champions for TBS one time, and I'm sitting at ringside going over my notes. He's got to talk to me. It's crucially important. And so I said, okay. So I put my paper up, and let's talk. Not here. We got to go to private. Okay. You know, I had no idea what the deal was, what calamity he was in. He had his share of issues with the ladies. He had lots of lady friends. He was quite the ladies' man. So who knew? You know, who knew what Brian's issue was? He said, "I got to talk to him private." So we go to the shower area. And he shows me, he says, "Okay, you ready?" I said, yeah, what is it? What's the problem? I got to show you something. So he swings the door to the commode stall open. And in that commode was the longest uninterrupted piece of human waste known to man. If it wasn't 18 inches long, I'm not wearing a black hat. He had gone to the bathroom and taken meticulous effort to have a bowel movement uninterrupted because he knew something special was happening. He got one of the referees, one of the ring crew guys, to stand guard at the stall most of the afternoon so when the guys would come in, he could go get them and bring them and show them his masterpiece.
Thank you, Jim Ross. That was, wow, that's quite a story that Brian Pillman would do something so crazy. See, that's what Brian was. That's why he got called the Loose Cannon, because even when the TV cameras were not on, they weren't even wrestling, they were getting ready for that show that night. And they must have had some free time to kill. He must have been, at that time, you know, there were three guys that always were very punctual. They liked to at least be, you know, 2 hours early. They wanted to be the first guys in the arena. Shawn Michaels, Steve Austin, Brian Pillman, those three guys, and once in a while, Bret Hart. Bret Hart was also one of those guys that would like to show up 2 hours before the show. I mean, you know, and, you know, some bosses, they look at that and they go, if I was DDP's boss, and I'd go, you know, you still have an hour and a half left before you actually start work. What the hell are you doing here so early? But, you know, WWE officials at that time, they never had a problem with that. You know, I mean, even now. Nowadays, you know, when I used to work in retail, I didn't mind if people showed up early. I actually approved of it. I was like, well, good, they're here early, and now I have to give them a phone call home to find out if they're coming to work or not. Those guys, but that's probably why Brian Pillman had time to show JR, because JR thought that, well, you know, sometimes he would go to Jim Ross and tell him, well, I have this problem. I like this girl, but I can't really talk to her. I don't know her that well. You know her better than me. Why don't you go talk to her? Or he would say that, well, this and that's going on at home. You know, my wife's upset about the storyline that we're doing. Is there any possible way that I can change this? Or if he was just real down and out, he would always talk to Jim Ross. But when coming to Jim Ross to show him this, do you want to show me the bathroom stall because of the crap that you put in here? I don't like the smell, but I tell you. Now this next one will take some time, but this was just another way of Brian Pillman being his true self.
Preconceived notions about who Brian Pillman is. I know there's a lot of people that think I'm crazy. But I'm here to tell you,
There is a sensitive side to Brian Pillman. And quite frankly, I'm very, very deeply religious. And since last week, after playing the carnage of Raw over and over again in my mind, I became deeply disturbed. Nightmares, sleepless nights. I didn't know if what I had done was right. But thankfully, a glorious awakening overcame me. I was overwhelmed with the spirit of truth. And since that day, I have been compelled to pray for all of our misgivings. And right now, I want to ask each and every one of you to join me in prayer. I want to ask each and every one of you from the top row down to the front to bow your heads, close your eyes, and join me in prayer. I'd like to pray for Bret Hart that he may have a speedy, quick, and successful recovery. I'd like to pray for all the people who rejoiced in the savage brutality of last week's show. May they be forgiven. And I'd like to pray for all those, even those many among us who exulted in the devious actions of Stone Cold Steve Austin. May you be forgiven as well. And I'd like to pray for the millions across America, this great land, who savor the bloodthirsty violence that pervades our society. Please continue to bond with me in prayer, because I like to pray for the complete annihilation and destruction of Stone Cold Steve Austin. I'd like to pray that in this very building tonight, he be stricken down, so that he may never, ever again practice his evil craft. And I'd like to pray to each and every one of you out there now to open your hearts and minds and let Bret Hart in. Let Bret Hart, the savior of the WWF, into your heart and soul.
Brian Pillman, for once in my life, I ain't got a lot to say. You better pray that I don't come out there and beat the hell out of you. Speaking of saviors, not even Bret Hart is going to be able to save your ass.
I'm not afraid of the devil. It says in the good book, an eye for an eye, and to turn the other cheek.
Oh, no. Oh, no, this is not what we expected. This is not what we expected. And this capacity crowd clamoring for Stone Cold Steve Austin to come to the ring.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
Well, I'd say that Pillman's daring him to come out here.
Trouble.
on the cap all along. Was almost caught in the trap. Brian Pillman was praying for the destruction, the annihilation of Stone Cold Steve Austin. And we almost saw it. Bulldog Owen, what a trap.
Thunder Owen, Brother Davey, please, we need a moment of silence. We're still in the midst of our prayer. Before we were so rudely interrupted, I'd like to finish our moment of prayer because, just like they say, the family that prays together stays together. Let's get down on one knee. Let's go.
Close your eyes this time, McMahon, and bow your head.
Bless this day and this opportunity for Brother Owen and Brother Davey and myself to show our thanks. Brother Davey, is there anything you'd like to pray for?
I'd like to pray for you, Brett, and hope you get better.
Brother Owen, please enlighten us to your prayer.
I want everybody out here to please pray for my brother Brett and help him heal.
Wait a minute, what's that?
And also, we're all decent human beings. Please pray for Stone Cold Steve Austin
no.
to heal and come to the other side and realize what this is. I'm begging of you, pray for Brett and pray for Stone Cold Steve Austin. He needs our help. He needs our help. Bow down and pray for him to heal.
This is a bordering on the absurd.
Yes, we also pray for Steve.
Austin's coming back. He's coming back with an axe handle. What? Stone Cold Steve Austin coming back with that axe handle. Get away! He's in net! Austin almost got one of them. Stone Cold Steve Austin. His presence felt here already tonight. Who knows what's going to happen tonight on Raw. And by the way, the Hitman Bret Hart is on his way.
I don't know where the hell you're going, but you better give your soul to the Lord or somebody, because your red is back.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, no doubt, will be with us, ladies and gentlemen, all throughout tonight's event, just as he was last week on Raw. Welcome, Vince McMahon here along with Jerry the King Lawler and Jim Ross. JR, who knows what's going to happen? We do know that Bret Hart is on his way to the arena as we speak. We also know that...
Yes, it's true. That's how things had happened. But, you know, things went on, and because everybody remembers that, well, Pillman originally started in all the things with WCW. And we'll get to those old clips. But, you know, I understand I'm going backwards in all this, but that's okay. But, you know, I tried to find the clip when Pillman first went to ECW, but I couldn't find it. There's a lot of stuff I couldn't find. But the first time that Brian Pillman, after he left WCW, before he even did the WWE stuff that I've been playing, the first time he went to ECW you know, because Paul Heyman had said one time that they were doing a show and they arrived at the ECW arena in Philadelphia. And once they get to the building, they were shocked and surprised to see that, well, somehow Brian Pillman got himself to Philadelphia. And Paul Heyman at the time with the original ECW, if you showed up and you weren't on the card, that's okay. Paul Heyman was going to give you something to do. So they said, well, there's no question about it. People that were showing up to the arena had no clue that Pillman is backstage. Paul said, well, that's okay. They don't know, but we're going to bring in Brian Pillman. But there were, the first night in ECW was a night filled with controversy. Because when he went to ECW, the original plan, as some of you may have heard in the opening audio clip from different things that went on, you know, things had happened, and there's some controversy with the story, but the story goes that, because Brian Pillman had showed up and, you know, Joey Styles is in the ring, and he's opening up the TV show when they were on the former TNN network, which is now Spike TV. See how they dubbed their name? They still think that people don't remember that the channel was under a different name. Sure, it's called Spike TV now, but it used to be called the TNN network. And Paul Heyman and the ECW crew, they dubbed it every week. They're like, oh, remember that? It was the Redneck Network. The Nashville Network. Yeah. The Nashville boys. They start making fun of them. But anyways, before that, you know, so Joey Styles is in the ring. He's opening up the show, and he's saying, well, this and that's going to happen. Steve Austin's going to give us another promo because, just like Brian Pillman had convinced Eric Bischoff from WCW to fire him for real, Steve Austin also got fired, and they were both in ECW. But Pillman's, you know, hiding out, getting ready to appear. So Joey Styles is opening up the TV show, telling the people what they're going to see that night. They tell them to get ready to see some hardcore wrestling action. Truly hardcore. They were going to do some garbage can stuff. Maybe a barbed wire incident was going to take place. Who knew? And the lights go off. And Joey Styles freaked out for a minute. He's like, and tonight you will see, what the hell? And when the lights came back on, Brian Pillman was in the middle of the ring. And people were cheering him. They were glad. The ECW Philadelphia crowd roared. In an upshell of speculation, wondering how Brian Pillman had got himself into the ECW arena. Joey goes, Brian Pillman, what are you doing here? And because they had talked about this backstage, and Brian had told Paul Heyman, look, I understand your crowd. This is a really rough crowd, and I know my background. They're going to cheer for me, but then again, what if they don't? It's a challenge enough for them to get to cheer for me if they're going to cheer for me. But I'll just play it off like I don't know what the hell they're doing. I'm going to get them to boo me. And without even mentioning it to Paul, what he was going to do, because also, as you heard in the opening audio clip, that Paul Heyman had said that nobody really knew what he was doing. He kept everything to himself. That way, everyone would talk about him and him only. The spotlight would solely be on him. Sure, to this day, everybody knows that damn well he was still a mid-card wrestler. He never got the chance to wrestle for the big titles. Sure, he won the WCW US Cruiserweight title. Sure, he won the WCW Tag Team titles with Steve Austin when they were the Hollywood Blondes. And then when he got to WWE, He held the light heavyweight championship title. And he also held the U.S., their own version of the U.S. title in WWE. But he never got to be WWE or world champion. So he was always known as a mid-card wrestler, even though he was doing the main event stuff. But anyway, Paul never bothered to ask him what he was going to do. And he should have. Because the story goes that he comes out there and the crowd's cheering, they're going crazy, like I said, and he's like, so, this is ECW, huh? Well, I've got the urge to piss. And right now, I'm going to yerk out my Johnson and piss in this hellhole. And it's not shown on any DVDs, not even on the Brian Pillman DVD. Trust me, I have it. Because they cut right to commercial. So some people swear that, oh, they will tell you, the people that were in the Philadelphia arena that night, at the ECW arena, they will tell you, they swear to it to this day, that they swear you with my own eyes. With my own eyes, damn it. I saw Brian Pillman pull down his pants and he had it going out crazy. He had his thing going out at the arena in front of all these people. But, of course, that's never seen, because when they come back from commercial, by the time they came back from commercial that night on TNN, Todd Gordon and Paul Heyman, the two owners of ECW at the time, and several other officials, Bill Alfonso, the crazy white boy referee, they were all in the ring, and other officials had come out and like, hey, we're on TV, you can't do that. What the hell do you think you're doing? Joey Styles even screamed it out before he started unzipping his pants. He goes, hey, what the hell? What the hell are you doing? Joey Styles started screaming like a little girl. Because nobody expected Brian to do that. That was Brian's thing. Fast forward 6 months later, you know, this is at the time when Vince McMahon decided, because, you know, the plan was for Brian Pillman to have Eric Bischoff fire him for real, behind the scenes, in storyline and in real life. So the plan was that he would go to ECW and then go back to WCW to truly make it look like a Brian Pillman invasion at WCW. But unfortunately, we know that that never happened, because he decided to let his WCW contract lapse. And Vince McMahon found out about this and said, we should hire him. He really did let his WCW contract lapse. He's getting paid by ECW, but he's not getting paid enough. But he was in, you know, ECW for a short while. And, you know, he did, we all remember that he worked short little stints with Shane Douglas in ECW, and Brian Pillman would use his real-life wife, Melanie, to come to Philadelphia to for this feud with Shane Douglas. And I remember the times when he would do that. This is when his son, Little Brian, was born. And they actually used, you know, his wife was like, well, what if the baby gets hurt? I don't want him to get hurt or anything. Like, no. We'll figure that out. We'll have Shane Douglas do something with his hand, but not overreaching the boundaries with you or the baby. And Brian, little Brian, is only maybe like 2-3 years old at this time. His mom is carrying him. They're in the front row. Brian Pillman had apparently, you know, spit water all over Shane Douglas' face and jumped over the rail at the ECW arena. And Shane goes after him, and he jumps behind his wife, and him and his wife are holding up the baby in front of Shane Douglas' face. He's like, oh, you can't get me. You can't get me. And no, you can't hit these people. These people, they're innocent people. This is a child. And this is, are you the mother of this child? He was playing it off, acting like he didn't know her. But true wrestling fans, we knew that, well, that's his wife and that's his little son that they have. And they did this often, and so he left. and got himself a contract, a real contract, at WWE with Vince McMahon. And, of course, Eric Bischoff was none too happy about this whole thing because it related to the night that Brian Pillman had a strap match in WCW with the Booker, Kevin Sullivan. And they never had the strap match because Brian had left. He walked out. And everybody's like, well, gee, did Bischoff really give him permission to walk out? No, he never did. But they made it look like, well, we don't know why Brian did this. Maybe Brian was just having problems. But Bischoff knew. He should have told the truth. But anyway, time went on. And here we go. And Brian Pillman returned to ECW 8 months later after all these incidents and stories had happened. But he should have been prepared for the not-so-fan-based welcoming committee.
And damn, hammering Mikey. Mikey slowing it down. Brian Pillman!
Stop the man! Stop the man! And every one of you wants the chance to a real God. Get on your knees right now and pay homage to Brian Pillman right now.
What does he think he is?
You got a problem with that, what, Ripley? You got a problem, boy? Come on down and get my face if you got a problem. Express yourself.
Pillman challenging Mikey.
What are you gonna do, Mikey? Beat up a cripple and a man in a wheelchair?
Yeah! Way to go, Mikey! Pillman! Oh, this is despicable!
Back here. Not to look at you pieces of shit, but to realize that even a world-class athlete like myself that has pioneered, that has thrown my fists of hate and contempt right in the face of Ted and Jane themselves. That's why I'm not here. I'm here to celebrate, to rejoice what Rob Van Dam has done to the holy flagship of ECW, Sabu. He sucks, and so does each and every one of you pieces of in this building. Savior. You want to look for leadership? Look to Rob Van Dam. Don't look to the Sandman, some bumbling drunk hobbling around with a manager whose man is more manhood. I'm at the point right now. If you don't shut up right now, I'm leaving.
Let's get the out of this dump, Brian.
In case you didn't pick it up, that was Rob Van Dam on the microphone at the last few minutes there. Telling Brian, let's leave. Let's get out of here. Because they had formed an alliance that nobody knew about. And, of course, you know that little Mikey Whiprack, 120-pound kid, you may have been skinny and short and really didn't look like a wrestler. You could probably, if you were in charge, you'd be like, well, Mikey Whiprack, who the hell is Mikey Whiprack? You look like crap. I don't think you can wrestle. But man, he could wrestle. And him and Rob Van Dam had this awesome match. It was going good. I remember watching this match as a teenager going, damn, this is awesome. This is great. Until Brian Pillman returned to ECW this night and ruined the whole damn thing. Then, of course, let's go back to WCW for just a minute. I'm sure you all remember this.
Yeah, you're right, Eric. I'm not Hogan. I'm not Savage. I'm not Sting. I'm Brian Pillman. And don't you ever forget it. And I have a dream. And that is to teach you and everybody else respect, and I'll do whatever it takes, even if I gotta hack your thumbs off.
Easy, Pillman. You are treading thin. Thin ice.
Yeah, thin ice could be used for Brian Pillman. I tell you, you know, he had many feuds in WCW, including his long feud, you know, him with Steve Austin as the Hollywood Blonde. That was their tag team. They ended up winning the belt from Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas. They even went on to feud with the Four Horsemen. You know, and they even did this segment in WCW. The WCW writers had created the segment called Flair for the Gold. And you know, Steve Austin and Brian Pillman got put on in a talk show type environment because everybody thought that Ric Flair and Arn Anderson could do it together. You know, and Pillman and Austin, they get on Flair for the Gold, and Ric Flair is having it out with one of his former girlfriends in storyline terms, and she's like, oh, forget this, I'm out of here, and she leaves, and he's like, well, Arn Anderson, we got to bring it down. We got the world tag team champions with us. Stunning Steve Austin and flying Brian Pillman. You know, stunning Steve Austin was not really a real deal breaker for Steve Austin, but it was the name that was given to him at the time. But anyways, they get on the show and, you know, Flair Austin and Pillman and Anderson were all great together this night. And Brian Pillman, again, proceeds to be unpredictable. Because it was written in the storyline for him to say something appropriately sarcastic to Ric Flair and Arn Anderson. No, he goes and, again, tosses caution to the wind, so to speak. And he's like, hey, Flair. He's talking to Ric Flair. He's like, I want to know something tonight. Can I have your autograph? Please, please, I need your autograph. And Ric Flair just starts laughing. He goes, well, sure. Anything for a fan. He's like, oh, no, 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 it's not for me. For my great-great-grandmother. You know, she's a big, big fan of yours, a big fan. He's like, well, I'm sure I can do that. And then Steve Austin jumps in, and he really followed through with his lines that were written for him. He looked at Brian and just gave him the look like, it's my turn now. We're supposed to follow the storyline. He's like, do you smell that? It smells weird in here. And Brian, again, he doesn't follow the storyline, what's written. And the writers were pissed off backstage. They couldn't believe that Brian was not following the script. But it made great television. And Brian then looked at Steve and he goes, wait a minute, Steve. Oh, you're talking about that smell. I know what that smell is. Well, we do have two old folks here. This must be the old folks home. Don't you smell that real weird smell? And Steve Austin decides, you know, Steve just, you know, if you watch it on the video, you can clearly tell that Austin is looking behind the scenes, giving the writers this look like, you know what, forget it. Nobody's following the storylines. I'm not going to follow the storylines. And he looked at Ric Flair and he goes, you know, you're catching up there, old man. You really are. Brian's like, yeah. Steve Austin, finally, he jumped in without any storyline reason. And he goes, you know, this is great. This is a great antique shop. Look at all these great antique, all these old stuff. Brian Pillman's like, yeah, I feel like I'm at a museum. Austin said, how much did you pay for that statue over there? But he was pointing at Arn Anderson, and Arn Anderson just took off his glasses and got pissed off. He's like, what did you say, boy? Boy, you guys are 20 years younger my age, 20 years our junior. And they start bickering and saying that they're going to do this and that. And because Arn Anderson, by this time, nobody had followed the storyline by this time. And in succession, because they were not supposed to go far, but Arn Anderson by this time was really pissed off, and he goes, oh, yeah, yeah? You really think you're all that? He's like, yeah, I do. I know I am. We're the best tag team in the world. And it wasn't written for Arn Anderson and Ric Flair to even start talking about the World Tag Team titles because they were the tag champions at the time because they were the only team that had gotten the belts off of Ricky Steamboat and Shane Douglas. So they were the tag champions now. And because, you know, Ric Flair and Arn Anderson, they let Steve Austin and Brian Pillman get the best of them for real. Without storyline being followed, Arn Anderson just throws it out there. And they had to write it out in the storyline a few weeks later for their pay-per-view that would take place a month later. Because Arn Anderson was so pissed off, if you watch, you know, Austin and Pillman on Flair for the Gold segment from WCW back in the day, he's like, well, fine. You two young punks think you're all that. You want to take care of us, we'll take you out. We'll put our world tag team titles on the line. And everybody went, oh, they just took this big gulp and, you know, let the longitude go down their throats because they were like, did he just say he wants to put the tag titles on the line? And everybody goes, write it in the storyline. We'll have them do it at the next pay-per-view. And that's what they did. That's exactly what they did. And, of course, when he got to, you know, WWE, it was crazy. It was crazy. Because you know how he had feuded with Brian Pillman time and time again in WCW. They never got a chance to feud in ECW. Paul Heyman was really trying to work into that. But by that time, Pillman had gotten, like I said, a real contract with WWE. And he left Austin behind in ECW. But, you know, he would come to WWE later on. And, you know, this was, you know, November 4th, 1996. The November 4th edition of Monday Night Raw, Pillman got a chance to take part in the most infamous, most controversial angle that WWE ever did, and he got a chance to do it with Steve Austin. Because now with Steve in the WWE, you know, as you heard, you know, they were friends. You heard me play some of the audio clips, and then you heard that, you know, Steve Austin didn't like the fact that Bret Hart had come back, as you heard, and then he attacked Brian Pillman. 4 weeks later, you know, Steve Austin's in the ring cutting his own promo, and he's saying this and that, and how he's going to take care of the entire Hart Foundation, and it's going to be a short-lived reunion between them. And then Brian Pillman comes in, and he attacks him from behind. And Steve Austin said in an interview one time, he said, man, I knew that Brian Pillman was going to come in and attack me, but, man, when he hit me from the back, with the back of the head that steel, you know, bracket, I almost saw stars, he said. And he was like, well, you know, because this is a live interview on your show, he's like, I got to watch my language on your show, but he beat the hell out of me. He beat me up bad. Brian Pillman was like, oh, I didn't mean to hit you that hard. But this was, you know, the November 4th edition. This episode, it's still etched in everybody's mind. Because everybody knows that 2 weeks before they were going to do this gun angle, Pillman had a serious car accident. He got flown at least 50 feet, they said, and they had to, you know, do all this type of surgery, and they had to use different screws that mechanics use on cars. They literally screwed him back together, ladies and gentlemen. This is how Brian Pillman got to use his leg again. But his leg had been in a cast, and Vince was like, we're going to cancel this whole thing, and we'll hold off until you get surgery, until you get better. Brian Pillman's like, no. No, I can do this. I can do this with a little help. And then his wife, Melanie, at the time, she really wasn't into the whole wrestling thing. I mean, come on, what girl is really into wrestling? But he convinced her and got her into it. And she was going to be the one holding him up, propped him up while he did the gun angle. And if you all remember, you know, Kevin Kelly, he's like, well, I'm here at Brian Pillman's house. You know, and Steve Austin has threatened that he will show up here tonight as a precautionary measure. Brian's children have been taken to their grandmothers. Now, you can understand, he said, Pillman's in a vulnerable mood. What will he do if Stone Cold Steve Austin shows up here tonight and they go to a commercial and they come back and Kevin Kelly is in the house with the camera crew with Brian and Melanie. And Brian Pillman's real-life friends, they weren't wrestling fans either. But Brian had a way of convincing them. He said, hey, I get, you know, $3 million a week for helping Vince McMahon out with stuff like this. If you do this, I will help you out. And he did. His friend thought he was joking, but he ended up, after this whole thing had happened, because, hey, they took part in it. Some of them really got seriously injured. He did. He honestly gave them half his paycheck for helping them out. Because they came back from commercial. He's like, Kevin Kelly ended up back out. This time he's in the house now because they're getting ready to do the second segment back from commercial break. He's like, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we don't know what's going on. Austin has arrived. He's been making his way around all the way to the back of the house now. He's yelling and screaming at the top of his lungs for Brian to come out. And you could hear Austin going, I know you're home, you son of a bitch. I know you're home. I'm coming up there. You think I don't know you're not home? Don't lie and tell me you're not home. I know you're home. And they go back to Kevin Kelly. Kevin Kelly's like, Austin's making his way. He's making his way right now, all the way to the back of the house. I can hear him coming up by the door here. And Pillman's got the pistol. And I don't know what Brian's going to do, but... And then all of a sudden you hear glass breaking. And Steve Austin marched into the door. He kicked the door in. And then Brian's wife, Melanie, starts screaming, acting like she's in disarray. Of course, she got huge, huge props from Brian. He's like, thank you, honey. I love you so much. That was a great job you did. And they started using her more and more, kind of like what they're doing with Vicky Guerrero now that Eddie Guerrero is gone. But, you know, the network knew that a gun was going to be used. They just did not expect that Brian Pillman would actually point the gun at somebody. This was really taboo in the 90s. I mean, sure, they were making violent, violent movies. I mean, come on. The first time you saw, that anybody saw, a gun pointed at somebody else in a movie or on live TV, you can go back to one of the horror movies. How appropriate, huh? That we're talking about this and it's Halloween time in 3 weeks. But on Freddy, the Nightmare on Elm Street movie, you know, Michael Clark Duncan, who has never been an action or horror fan, he's kind of like me. He only approved of drama movies and action/drama type movies. And he's like me. He's never had a thing for horror movies. Horror movies, they're stupid and pathetic nowadays. There's no real storyline behind them. But anyways, you know, it was his job to actually point a gun at Freddy Krueger in the movie. And the only time on network television that a gun had been pointed at somebody else was on the old, old TV shows. If there's any 20 to 30 people listening, you're my age, you, of course, remember the hit TV teen show, Merrill's Place 90210, where Andrew had pointed a gun at his television girlfriend, Marissa. But they didn't expect that a gun would be used in a real-life capacity on a wrestling program. The moment Brian Pillman pointed that gun at Steve Austin, and you could see a clear camera view, the network, they pulled the plug on the camera that was inside of Brian's house. Now, you're probably wondering, well, Matt, you didn't really explain how some of his neighbors got involved. Because before he got into the house, he had to go against three of Brian's friends, and he used his friend's Jeep to wash somebody in. He threw two of the guys in the... They wanted a real swimming pool, but they didn't have a real swimming pool. They came up with the next best thing. Steve Austin's friends, Brian Pillman's friends actually were like, well, all we have, Steve, is this little stupid, it's Brian Pillman's kid's swimming pool. Steve's like, that's okay, fill it up with water. I'll use anything. And he did. He beat the crap out of me. He threw one of the guys into the garage door. He's like, don't you ever mess with me again. Don't you ever mess with me again. But back to the house thing, the camera comes back on, and Vince McMahon is trying to ask Kevin Kelly what's going on. Personally, if I was in charge, if I was Vince McMahon, thank God I'm not, though. But there was too much chaos going on. If this is supposed to be a live TV broadcast, which is why I have a problem with them going taped, but yet they come on television and all these wrestling promotions say, oh, we're live, we're live. That's why I've always had a problem with that, because it never was live. The only promotion that was live was WCW at the time. But the camera comes back on and everybody's talking all at once. And I hate that. And he's like, what's going on there? Kevin Kelly, can you hear me? Do you know where Austin is? And Kevin's trying to talk and tell Vince, you know, answer Vince's question. But Vince's still going, do you know where Steve Austin is? He's like, well, Vince, hold on a minute. We saw the gun. Brian Pillman pointed the gun at Steve Austin. Steve Austin saw the gun and he left. And he tried to answer more questions, but then Steve Austin came in and ruined the whole damn thing again. Classic TV. He's like, he saw the gun and he left. Oh, my God, he's back. he's back, and they start, you know, going crazy at each other, and Brian tells his friends and his wife, he's like, let him go! I'll kill that son of a bitch! Let him go! And following that, you know, the network was, of course, none too pleased that this had taken place, and they requested that WWE official Brian Pillman and Steve Austin don't ever, ever do that to us again without telling us. You can't do that on network TV. Well, that's the way it goes. And, you know, the gun angle was so well thought out. Just awesome. You know, we're going to take our final commercial break. And another tribute song for Brian Pillman, because I feel that this song really, really describes Brian Pillman. It was the way he dealt with things. And he would literally tell you to get the fuck out of his way if you didn't give him his way. But stay right there. We've got one more audio clip, and this clip became really, really controversial.
Hey fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hottest place on the internet for wrestling and video games is, of course, WGS Radio. We got it all. News, reviews, interviews with some of the biggest stars in wrestling today, and yes, even...
Oh my God!
The leader of Team Gooch himself, McDirty Fist. That's every Wednesday and Saturday night, 7 p.m. Central Time. And of course, for pay-per-views, 2 hours before every pay-per-view for wrestling. www.longtalkradio.com/WGS Radio. We'll see you there.
Out of my way.
now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show with another controversial thing that Brian Pillman was known for.
Peek-a-boo. I gotta tell you, pretty beat. I'm licked. Quite frankly, I'm bushed. But, as I promise you, this segment will go on because, welcome back, it's another edition of the Brian Pillman Triple X Files, and I do mean Triple X. I got news for the WWE. Marlena and Brian Pillman will not fight Dude Love at Bad Blood unless we get some restraints put on the psychopath, the heretic, the nut, the jilted lover, and, well, I was going to say former hubby, but you guys still are legally married. Because you know it, I know it. He's going to come out of that crowd, he's going to sneak up from behind me like he's been doing and try to end my career. So we want some guarantees. And once we get those, I'll kick that goof Dude Love's ass all over that ring and show him some bad blood. We're not going to show him anything else. I don't know. Got to keep those censors happy. So what I'm going to tell you right now is, I want Goldust bound and shackled. No, I want him handcuffed to that ring post at Bad Blood. And by the way, Dustin, you're going to have to get your own handcuffs. Because ours are going to be pretty busy.
Yeah, Brian Pillman doing the Triple X Files in WWE. That was with Goldust. You know, because they had done this storyline with Brian Pillman having a match with Goldust, and then the writers came to Goldust, a.k.a. Dustin Rhodes. Not Dusty Rhodes, Dustin. That's father and son. And it involved Dustin Rhodes' real-life wife, Marlena. Now, you're probably thinking, oh, here goes Matt again, talking about how she was never into it. No, Marlena was actually already, you know, a well-known name in the wrestling scene at that time because she came over from WCW. She was one of the former Nitro girls. And she had been accompanying Goldust to the ring for a good 2 years during this time. 2 years later, they told everybody in WWE, well, I'm dating him. And he told everybody, I'm dating her. Yeah. Next thing you know, they get married and they have kids. And but of course, you know, the real marriage scene is complicated in wrestling. So, you know, the writers came to all three of them and said, what if we do this storyline? What if we do this and this and that? Make it, we'll call it the Triple X Files. That would really, really help you out, Brian, especially with your character. Brian's like, okay, let's do it. But first I've got to clear things with the wife. Because he had to get permission. Every guy got to get permission from their wives. I'm not married yet, and I even know that. So he had to go home and tell Melanie, well, they want to do this storyline, and what do you think? She's like, yeah, sure, you like being involved in that stuff. I mean, you're the one who got me into this stupid crap anyway. She's like, I'm kidding, it's not stupid crap. She's like, get me into this soap opera for men with the gun incident. So go right ahead. And she willingly let him do this Triple X storyline. They got the whole thing squared away, and he went back to Vince McMahon and Jim Ross. He's like, hey, I got permission. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do these storylines. And, you know, they were supposed to go into this thing in 1997. Because from 90, you know how WWE is. If you've been watching as long as I have, you know that sometimes they just waste away a storyline and let it go on forever and ever. I mean, just look at The Rock versus Cena. It took them one damn year to finally end that thing and, oh, well, we'll just have them fight each other at WrestleMania. Make everybody wait a full whole year. So that's what they did with Brian Pillman, Marlena, and Dustin Rhodes. Because this all was supposed to take place at the very first Bad Blood pay-per-view, where he would eventually, the storyline was supposed to be that, because they told Pillman, well, you've beaten Dustin so many times, we'll do four more matches, and you will lose the last four, including the one at Bad Blood. And Bad Blood will be a big, big deal because the way the deal works and how all that is. And then, Dustin, you'll get Marlena back, and we'll end the story. And no more Triple X files. Dustin's like, okay, because this is kind of nerve-wracking for me. It touched a nerve with him personally because this was his real-life wife, and here they are going asking him to let his wife be used as a tool for Brian Pillman. And that's what it was. And hey, that was money. And they all came to their own terms about it, and that's just the way things went. And even with all that, check out what happened when Brian Pillman took on Eddie Guerrero. But listen closely, because Bobby Heenan...
All right, here we go. Flying Brian, Eddie Guerrero.
I can stay with you for about a month.
Flying Brian cannot take Eddie Guerrero lightly. If he does, he will pay the price. And I believe that's what he's doing here. At least... Well, it's hard to predict what's on Flying Brian's mind.
You know, this is a bad move. Eddie is what you would think of as a nice guy. But he didn't take advantage of Brian when he should have right there. Right from behind, he should have just nailed him. Pillman's neglecting Eddie Guerrero. You've got to think about that, man. He's in there with you. Pillman's playing games with him now.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. I want to remind you, on option two of the WCW hotline, Mike Tenay has an exclusive and very candid interview with Senior Vice President Eric Bischoff regarding certain skits being used by another wrestling organization. So give us a call right now and hear Eric Bischoff's comments on option two of the WCW hotline.
Well, Guerrero will fight you. There's no doubt about that. He can wrestle you on the mat. He can come off the top rope, second rope, any rope you want. He can come off the catwalk in the building, and he'll do it. And Pillman can do the same thing. He will do it. It's going to be a great match.
Hey, stay away from me, fella.
Yeah, he's nuts.
Yeah.
Just shove you like that.
Yeah, well, that's all right.
Why is your head whipped back and forth? Tap some hair.
Next time he comes around here, I want you and Annette to stand in front of me, or behind me, or keep him away from me. He's a nut. You know, I've known Ryan for a long, long time, and he just, like, he's a completely changed man.
Whoa!
Eddie with a shoulder block. Waistline. Guerrero held nicely. The ropes! Drop kick, watch out! Flying Brian tumbles on the outside, almost in our lap here, and Eddie... Wait a minute.
No.
What
the f*** are you doing?
Easy. trying to laugh. We've got problems here. Now he wants to shake hands with him.
I think the brain is left.
Somebody's got to control Pillman. I can tell you that right now. He is an absolute nut. This is absolutely broken down. Now, would you do us a favor, Randy Anderson, and keep them in the ring? Brain, sit down here and gather your composure now. Are you back with us here?
I'd like to apologize if I said anything I shouldn't have off color or anything, but I mean, the man was going for my neck. He was going. I was concerned for my own well-being. He's a loose cannon. He'll turn on anybody. And if I said something I shouldn't have, I apologize.
I think saying he's a loose cannon is maybe putting it mildly here. Into the midsection. Backhand shot. And again. In the ropes they go. A pickup. Eddie Guerrero. No. Great backbreaker. Would I be safe to say that after the antics we've just seen, you would rather see Eddie Guerrero win this match?
No, I still like Pillman's style.
Oh, for crying out loud.
I just don't want him to put his paws on me.
Grabbing the top of the head of Guerrero around the throat, the backhanded chop. Flying Brian into the midsection. And a big chokehold. Again, and slapping the face of Eddie Guerrero. Well, if this is the new Four Horsemen, I'll be the first to say that this elite group has gone downhill. Snapmare takeover. I can't even imagine Chris Benoit like this, can you?
Yeah. Now, Pillman's got everybody in a rage over there at the Horsemen camp. Arn Anderson's slapping Pillman around. Flair's losing his title. Anderson's getting involved. I mean, so much happening.
Into a reverse chin lock and elbow to the midsection. Eddie Guerrero trying to get out of it. Missed the clothesline, a top kick. Good maneuver. Where the fans love Eddie Guerrero.
I still like Pillman's style.
Drop kick. And flying Brian on the outside. Well, here he comes again. Back up on the apron now. Making his way back. Eddie doing the right thing. That was a good move by Guerrero. Get the first blow in as he's coming through. Watch. A backhanded shot. In the corner, Eddie got the knees up. Eddie up top. Hooks the head. Oh, good maneuver. Tremendous maneuver by Guerrero. Oh, little press. And a two and a no.
No, he didn't get him.
Of it.
You know, Guerrero comes from a great wrestling family, they say. You know, his father, he's got three or four brothers wrestled. I mean, their whole life has been wrestling. And Guerrero will fight you. He'll go toe-to-toe with you. But so will Pillman. And you know something? When you see one horseman, there's always two, three around.
Hooks both legs. Got the ropes.
Almost.
And Eddie kicked out with a foot on rope. Nice. Pushing referees. Eddie roped him up. One. Two. Did not get it. It would have to be considered a major upset. Eddie looked at the referee quickly, said two, and he keeps right on wrestling. Eddie up top with a great leapfrog maneuver. Great crossbody. One, two, got the tight.
He
Eddie
got him.
Beats Eddie Guerrero. Holding the tight. Flying Bryant. He's a nut, but he wins. Here on WCW's Clash of the Champions.
Well, you probably got confused there, but let me explain it to you. The thing was that, you know, all through this WCW pay-per-view, there had been an elapsed mention of things that were happening. But even before Brian Pillman's match with Eddie Guerrero in WCW at the time, from the top of the pay-per-view until this point of the pay-per-view, Bobby Heenan is on the mic and he's going this and that and, Brian Pillman this and Brian Pillman that. And, you know, nobody expected that Brian Pillman would actually get his hands on anybody, much less somebody in an announcing role. Well, you heard Bobby Heenan. He's like, well, you know, Brian Pillman, he's a crazy, crazy little bastard, you know? And that's why it got bleeped out, because Bobby Heenan had called him a fucking asshole. And then you hear Bobby Heenan going, get away from me. Because Brian actually got to Bobby, because Heenan is just on the mic going, bam, 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 saying every word in the book. And that's why you heard, you know, Bobby Heenan not once but twice go, well, I'm very sorry if I offended anyone, if I said something I should have, I'm very sorry. And please, let's just keep this match in order. And that's why he told Tony Schiavone, tell the referee to keep them in the ring. And he's like, well, I'll try. you just could not, you got to be careful. Even before, like I said, even before all that, those things had happened. And Bobby Heenan he thought it was smart to keep going on the mic and say all that shit about Brian Pillman. And you can't. But what you can do is you can give ultimate respect. Brian Pillman, if you're listening from up there to the stars, up in heaven, we miss you. We wish you were still here with us. Because Pillman's got a lot to be proud of, because as a child, he developed throat paralysis, and he had over 40 operations before he was even 3 years old. And, you know, most kids are like, I'm going to have to get cut open? Like, no, I don't want my body chopped in a million pieces and then put back together. What if they don't do it right? Now, most kids would scream about that. But Brian, you know, he told his mom, okay, if I have to do this, then I have to do this. And he was always like that. If something was bothering him, he wouldn't tell anybody. I'm kind of like that way, too. I'm just like, no, I'm fine. When really, you're not fine. Pillman, as we know, dated Terry Runnels while they were in WCW together, before her marriage to Dustin Rhodes. He later married Melanie on March 17th, 1993. She already had two children at the time, Alexis and Jesse. He also had two children, his own daughters, Danielle and Brittany. And then Brian and Melanie had two children together, Brian Jr. and Skyler. Pillman never learned that Melanie was pregnant with Skyler, who was born on May 5th, 1998, 7 months after Pillman's death in October 1997. Pillman, as we know, was scheduled to wrestle Dude Love at the pay-per-view Bad Blood. However, Pillman was late that night. Eventually, that's when WWF staff searched for him and discovered his body in Bloomington, Minnesota hotel room, where he had died sometime during the day. Pillman was only 35 years old. An autopsy found that a previously undetected heart condition had led to his death, the condition that also led to the death of his father. Pillman's use of drugs and alcohol may have also contributed to his death. In early 2008, Pillman's stepdaughter, Alexis Reed, started her wrestling career as a valet and a girl going under the name Sexy Lexi Pillman, as I told you all a few weeks ago. Alexis died, though, at age 26 on Thanksgiving night, November 26, 2009, from injuries sustained in a serious automobile accident. You know, it's never one to recollect or destroy one's history-making moments. And nobody can take that away from Pillman, because he is gone now. Vince McMahon or no other promoter in this world can go into their library and say, delete this about Brian Pillman. Delete that match. All those promos, those infamous ECW moments, ECW is dead now. I don't want any association with that. Take that down. No, they can't. They won't. And the question that I asked in the description is that some feel that Brian Pillman should be in the Hall of Fame for WWE. Others have said, no, he should not be in the Hall of Fame because he wasn't in WWE that long. But he sustained himself, even though, as I said, he was not a main event player. But he was a main event player in little different ways. This is how you portray a real person. Brian Pillman took things to a whole new level that none of us had ever seen before. And that's the way Brian Pillman left it. As Bret Hart once said, Brian Pillman, we miss you. Leave some passes for us at the gate. And we hope he did just that. Thank you all very much. We'll be back to our regular schedule next week, right here.
Heading to the top rope, and it's in it! Frogsplash! Frogsplash! Come on! Get it! Do it! Two! Yes! It's champion!
He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. So that one, like, they go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the tough survive. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that?
Is that fake? Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open-hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the 4th Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a... somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves, and it has been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.